Hi, this is John Delancey, and you are listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
There is nothing wrong with your podcast player. Do not attempt to adjust the volume. Hello and welcome back into our studio. You are now inside Studio 2009, only on the GeekCast Radio Network. I'm, of course, Steve Joe and Mike. Joining me once again, as always, with the Star Wars stuff, is Mr. David Draper. Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm doing all right.
Pretty good, pretty good. All right, all right. And it is daily December here inside Studio 2009, folks, on the GeekCast Radio Network, because you're going to get, I think it's 20 days or 21 days. I'd have to look at the schedule again, and I'm not doing that at this moment, but essentially 21 days of Studio 2009, various topics, a lot of Star Wars stuff. And in this one, we're going back to the prequels, but we are just talking about the music of the prequels done by the
incomparable.
Thank you, John Williams, along with the London Symphony Orchestra. Now, I remember when we started this podcast, this is before you came
on. I don't, because you did it with your side piece, your hooer.
Well, you know, you're not that far off. You said it, not me.
Another person. You got to talk about, you know, like, weirdly enough, even though people don't like Phantom Menace, I would have liked to have talked about Phantom Menace. I think there's a lot to talk about as a Star Wars fan.
Well, I mean,
I was never, but no, we couldn't go back and redo stuff. God forbid.
Well, that's part of the reason why we can do it now, because
the music now.
Well, yeah, but we can also
No.
Fine.
We'd be violating podcast law.
Right. There is no. Wow.
You fool. Naive fool.
You fool. That's right.
Foolish fool.
Foolish fool. So when the podcast started, June 20th, 2020, we've done Star Wars stuff on GCR in the past, and years and years and years ago, we did a prequels episode. We did an original trilogy episode at the time, because back in those days, in 2009, 2010, 2011, there was no sequel trilogy yet, because Disney had not bought them yet.
The salad days.
Uh-huh, yes. And at one point, I think, is it the original trilogy episode or the pre... It might be both of them. Those episodes are 6.5 hours long. Each. So, we've done a lot of Star Wars stuff, and I wanted to go back when starting this new podcast for Studio 2009, when Steve and I started it in 2020, and I wanted to do a bunch of different things. And one of the things I wanted to do was I wanted a place to talk about more music, not just soundtracks, but albums and musicians and artists and singers and songwriters and all that stuff. But specifically to Star Wars and to other film, animation, television things, also soundtracks, because I am a soundtrack whore.
I am too. I mean, I sent you a picture of my prequel soundtracks, but I had to dig. I have a specific box that's just John Williams. I had to dig them out of that because it's packed so tight.
How much John Williams stuff do you have in that? Oh, that's a whole other podcast.
It's pretty basic Becky. I mean, there's a couple of compilations. There's one that he did that they did for one of his birthdays. That's a good one. There's one that's just like a huge block of multi CDs. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got all the Star Wars. I counted this today. I have 5 copies of the Empire Strikes Back soundtrack.
I mean, it's alone. A good soundtrack, and we're going to get to that, so not today.
The vinyl I'm being used, both sides are being used as wall art, but like...
Wow.
Then I've got like the CD for the basic release, the what they call the, my brain is the orchestral cut, and then the special editions.
Very cool. So what sparked me to want to do this was, even though all of the albums now on Spotify say the year that the actual album came out, like, obviously, I'm specifically looking at Attack of the Clones. We're not there yet, but I'm only looking at that for reference because that's the one I have pulled up. 2002, Return of the Sith. Holy crap. Revenge of the Sith, 2005. Now, that's not specifically when these albums came. It's when they came out originally. But the reason why I'm saying all of this, folks, is to say this. Back in 2020, when we launched this podcast, 2020 or 2021, on Spotify, because I've been using Spotify since then or longer, I noticed that at the top of the album, it was all new album art. And it just says Star Wars and then the title. Phantom Menace is silver. Attack of the Clones is goldish, orangish yellow. Like the banner, like where it says Attack of the Clones in white text, the color behind it is like an orangish thing. And then Revenge of the Sith is purple, which I was like, ooh, purple. But at the top of this, it says remastered. And I was like, ooh, yay, full soundtracks on digital that are remastered that we can then talk about on the podcast. Now, that was 4.5, 5 years ago at this point. But we are finally here. And I will have in the episode post, folks, for those of you that don't subscribe to Spotify, I have most of the music on YouTube. Somebody put a playlist together, so I'll put a playlist in for each of those.
Did you listen to them?
Yeah. Oh yeah, I listened to them.
Did you notice that the sound would cut out every now and then, like just real quick?
Yep.
Yeah, that was really annoying. Because especially now that YouTube, their new way of handling ads is that they kind of fade out, mm-hmm. like a TV commercial.
Yeah.
So I kept expecting an ad to start, and like every fourth time it was an ad. Mm-hmm. I was like, ugh. I did get to listen to a little bit of it before the barrage of texts came in. I was telling Mike before we started, like, I wanted to listen to the YouTube ones, but like it was like a bat signal for everyone to like get attention from me. I was like, jeez. So yeah. I'm going mostly on memory and the ones that they released for mass consumption, which are cut down, to be fair.
Yeah, they are.
But I also, you know, like, to be honest, I don't think you need every little musical cue. I mean, they're more orchestrated for listening to as opposed to helping the movie, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. like they're more for enjoying as their own thing rather than being a part of something else,
yep.
being support.
So I guess I was wrong. It was 2018. Okay. Anyway, we'll get to this. But yeah, so here's the thing. I like when I saw the remasters on Spotify, it didn't matter to me at the time how much was there. Now, I've been working with a soundtrack company since 2010, 2011 called La La Land Records, and they do all kinds of vinyl and CDs, and they do all kinds of stuff with soundtracks because they're a soundtrack company. And I've been working with them for years and years and years, and I've always wanted something. Now, they have a lot – they have all the – they just – well, this year I'll say, because you folks will be hearing this in December, even though we're recording it in October – Hawktober, oh Lord!
That's an old meme too. Like, geez, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay, Grandpa. Yeah.
That's right. Get off my lawn. That's right. But La La Land Records just released I think all 7 volumes of the 7 or 14 volumes or whatever it is of the 1701 Star Trek music, and I was like, oh my god, you guys. So no, yeah, absolutely. And for me, when I saw the digital remasters show up in Spotify a couple years ago, I was like, ooh, yay. And up until 2 weeks ago, when I was planning for this episode, the next episode, and the episode that we'll have at some point after that with the sequel stuff, I have been listening to all 3 of these scores for the last 2.5 weeks. I have this music cooked into my brain. It's like that old commercial. This is your brain. This is your brain on drugs. Any questions? This is Mike's brain. This is Mike's brain on Star Wars music. Any questions? And the one thing out of – we're going to start with Phantom Menace here in a minute. But the one thing I will say, the most overrated prequel trilogy piece of music is Duel of the Fates.
Really?
Yep. I don't dislike it, but anytime anyone mentions the prequels, the first thing any Star Wars fan I've known for years now goes to, with maybe the exception of yourself, because this is the first time we've talked about it together, they will go to Duel of the Fates. And yes, it is an excellent piece of music. Yes, that is an excellent scene.
Well, you know, it also, like, I don't know if you remember, because you were younger at the time, it was the it had a music video. Like, I watched the debut of the video on MTV back in the day. Mm-hmm. And I think it is different, and it is distinctive from the original trilogy music to the most part.
Oh, absolutely.
I was going to say there's a chorus in it, but there is a little bit of a chorus to the Emperor's theme, yep. Which I noticed listening to the YouTube stuff was a lot more prevalent in Phantom Menace than I remember.
Yeah.
Because Sidious is the same guy. But I think it's the one that everybody remembers because it was pushed so hard as opposed to the other ones. And it is interesting. One of the things I wanted to point out about the prequels is that each one did have like a signature song.
Oh, yes.
Whereas the original trilogy had memorable bits, but they were all, like I said earlier, part of the movie. Yep. The Asteroid Chase was part of the movie. And these were like individual themes almost for the movie, even though they're in the movie, like there isn't anything like Duel of the Fates, Across the Stars, or Battle of the Heroes in the original trilogy. You know, a piece of music kind of by itself on the soundtrack.
Technically.
Well, but not as like a piece of music by. My problem is I really don't like know music terms, so okay. I'm having a little bit of a hard time explaining this. It's like you listen to the Empire Strikes Back soundtrack, and it's like the Asteroid Chase, and it's the Asteroid Chase, and it maybe or you know you can do it differently. You know, uh-huh. The Imperial March. It's the Imperial March. You can do it differently, but that's a scene in the movie.
Right, but the Imperial March as that music, that piece of music.
Yeah, I don't know. It also described a scene. For me, it felt different that you had these three pieces of music that were like unique to each movie mm-hmm. and kind of their own thing that were also woven into, I don't know.
Okay.
It felt differently to me.
Right, okay. So we got Duel of the Fates, we got Across the Stars, which surprisingly I absolutely the music I like. I hate that scene.
I like that scene. Well, okay, depends on which scene you're talking about. Because there's two moments. There's when they're in the fields, and that's terrible. But there's that moment, and even though by itself, or not by itself, but in context, it doesn't work. When she looks at Anakin and says, "I truly, deeply love you," and the doors open, and they go into the arena to be murdered. No. And the music blares.
Yeah, no. I'm talking about their picnic scene in the Met. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
But that moment that I'm talking about by itself, mm-hmm. like with no context, is amazing.
Oh, absolutely. Like,
but then you go, the romance really doesn't work. They didn't earn it. No. Blah blah blah. But just itself with the because that's the thing. The music. I think we said this before we started recording. Like the prequels are worth it for the music.
Yeah.
The music carries these movies.
Yes, it does. So we got Duel of the Fates for part one. We got Across the Stars for part two. What is part three's quintessential?
Battle of the Heroes.
Battle of the Heroes. Okay. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I agree with that. I would say, and we're gonna have to look at this next time, but the one that I can think of off the top of my head outside of the obvious main title theme song for Star Wars is Imperial March. Like, that's the one that I always think of when I think of the original trilogy. But, So Phantom Menace, it has... Oh, my God. Well, it's a good thing we are talking about this now because 25 years ago is when that movie was released this year. And so it's got five different releases over the years. May 4th, 99 was just the original motion picture soundtrack. It had the Ultimate Edition released November 14th of 2000. Now that is the the playlist that will be in the episode post, folks, from YouTube, because that's what I found. Because Dave was like, "Well, how are we going to do the music?" I said, "I'll do my best to find it on YouTube for you." So that's the playlist I had found. And then in 2014, they did the limited edition vinyl, which I assume is just the 17 tracks again, I'm assuming. And then there was the Ultimate Soundtrack Collection in 2016, and then the original motion picture soundtrack remastered CD digital from 2018. It was 2018. It was 2 years before we started this podcast. So I've had this thought in my head since 2018 to do this episode with the prequels, and then we're going to do the originals, and then we're going to do the sequels because, you know, 1 to 9.
I feel bad because I really do have to listen to the sequel ones. Like, I've given them each a chance, and I've never really stuck with them. Mm-hmm. Whereas the prequel and original trilogy, man, I have two copies of Attack of the – or I have two copies of Revenge of the Sith – one for my house and one for my car. Like, that's mm-hmm. how hardcore I am with this stuff.
Yeah.
Because I have a CD player in my car because I'm an old man.
Yeah. I remember when Force Awakens came out, and it was right before it – like, it was maybe – I don't know. They were still in – it wasn't when it came out, but it was, like, when they were still in production. Usually when they – announce the cast and they announce the director or the writer or the whatever, they usually announce who the composer is going to be. And we all thought, no brainer, John Williams, but they could have gone in any direction. Luckily.
Oh, I think even Kathleen Kennedy wasn't that crazy.
She crazy, but she ain't that crazy. But you're right. Now, I haven't listened to them as much as the others, but I remember when those released, I was like, because I will gobble it up. If the thing with me, folks, is that, and I've said this before on this podcast and on other podcasts, so I guess this is more for Dave than anybody else, but I can watch a movie, and if the music is good in the movie and there's like a specific thematic point of the music too, like if there's a specific sound or a specific instrumental section or again, we'll talk about this next episode or whenever we're going to do the originals. So I got to look at the schedule, whatever. When we get to Empire, Imperial March, like something like that, there has to be a specific thing that grabs my attention that makes me then want to hear the music outside of the movie. In that playlist for Phantom Menace, the Ultimate Edition, the very last track is Duel of the Fates. Yes, it's Duel of the Fates, but it's Duel of the Fates as it was. It's the vocal version. It's the dialogue version. So it's the version you would have seen and heard in the movie. So I think that is super cool that they added that for the Ultimate Edition thing. But I like hearing the music outside of the movie, so because most of the time it reminds, like, it makes me remember the scenes without having to watch the movie. That's just how I am, I guess.
I'm a little different. I when I listen to the music outside of the movie, it's less that I want to recreate the movie, more than I want to recreate the feelings. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I was thinking about this today. Like, for me, music is kind of like the Force, where the Force is best when it's less explained and more feelings.
Yep.
And Williams is really great. Like, I feel bad because, like, the ones I really want to talk about aren't from Star Wars. But Williams, there are a couple pieces of Williams' music that are amazing because, like, they tell their own story. There's a – I think it's called Into the Cage or something from – like, it's from my John Williams birthday celebration CD. Okay. And I don't think it's actually it's not specifically from the movie. It just uses the music from the movie, and it's called like Out to Sea, I think. And it basically it's from Jaws, and it's amazing because it starts out very light and very da 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 da, and we're going on an adventure. And mm-hmm. then as it goes along, it gets a little more da da dum, and it's like, okay, we're going after a shark and people have died, and then it's like da da dum, and it's like you can feel the ratchets tightening the entire song. It starts out light and breezy and tinkly, and it ends on this apocalyptic note because they have gotten in way the fuck over their heads and they are doomed. Yeah. But it's amazing. It tells a story. Mm-hmm. There's another one for his theme for 1941, Goldberg's 1941, is an amazing piece of music because I imagine this parade. Like there's a little town in California, and it's right after the Pearl Harbor, and there's a it starts out it's a parade, and it's like this great military parade, and as it goes along, it loses control and it becomes a circus. Because I like music that tells a story and makes you feel emotions and as opposed to like I remember that scene, you know, it's like there are a couple pieces like there's some parts from Jurassic Park that make me remember a specific scene, but like the one Jurassic Park theme, I love it because it starts out you think you're in like a child's bedroom, and then suddenly like the image fades and you're actually in a Jurassic swamp. And you see something in the shadows and you realize it's a brachiosaur and it's the biggest thing you've ever seen and it's beautiful. It's just majestic. Williams is a genius. Like I I'm gonna be quiet now and let you talk
for a minute. No, continue.
Well, I'll run my mouth. Everything but Star Wars music. Okay, so I have a question for you.
Yes.
How do you feel about Anakin's theme from Phantom Menace? And do you know the secret?
No.
Anakin's theme is the Imperial March.
Oh, you're right. It is.
It's just orchestrated slightly differently.
Yep.
And you can tell at the very end, da, 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 da.
Yep.
It's the Imperial March done as a hopeful little sweet thing about the kid.
Oh my God.
It's genius.
Yeah.
Because you kept saying how much you love the Imperial March. I'm like, does he know the thing? Does he know the secret?
No, I did not. I didn't even. And I, like I said, I've been listening to this stuff the past 2 weeks. And I didn't even put it together. That's crazy. That's awesome, though. Because, you know, it's genius and it's foreshadowing. And it's foreshadowing at its best.
Well, it's not really. It's retro foreshadowing.
Well, yeah, but still. The cool thing about listening to the Phantom Menace without it being in the movie is like you said, it brings up memories for you of what's going on and whatever. The Sith spacecraft and the droid battle. Oh, I had always wanted to hear that track outside of the action, because in that battle you've got blasters and stuff and this and that, and then the droids are like roger, oh no, Roger, I went rogered and rogered myself.
I don't talk smack about Roger R. Roger, the hero of the Confederate States.
Find that Jedi. Roger.
Hey, look, I love those droids, so
I have mixed I didn't get to talk about the Phantom Menace. I have mixed feelings about the battle droids. Like there's a clip of Lucas and Spielberg when he's filming the movie, and Lucas is kind of talking about like, yeah, they're basically pretty useless. And I'm like, well, that's not a good enemy to deal. Like, and I get there was like a thing in the 90s in cartoons particularly where like all the enemies were robots.
Yep.
So you could slash them and beat them up and destroy them.
Yep.
Without feeling bad about it. And then in Attack of the Clones, it was bugs. So you could murder bugs. And nobody would really feel bad about it, but it was just, your primary enemy forces should not be comedy relief.
I agree, but these are like I'm just gonna freaking say it. The battle droids, the Roger, hey, you're not supposed to be here. What's going on? Oh my God, blah blah blah. All those little guys, they're essentially Goombas. They're essentially the first line fighters in Mario. They're not mid-level bosses. They're not the boss before you get to the final boss. They're the army. That was the point. The droid army. And they're unfortunately, sadly, expendable because there are so many of them and all do is Roger. I mean, they do say other things as well, but I'd rather have a bunch of droids slaughtered than a bunch of humans slaughtered. Uh-oh, folks, I think
no, we're gonna get... I hear what you're saying, but it just It's not that I want to see people die horribly. It's that I feel like it was wimping out. Like it was a cheap, you know, like it to avoid the very sort of squeamishness that you and I are feeling in this conversation.
Uh-huh.
You know, because the Jedi's principal weapon is a laser sword that cuts through anything.
Yeah.
Like they gave you disposable enemies.
Yep.
But then you don't really feel it. You don't, like compare that to Saving Private Ryan. Okay. Or like you feel every bullet impact,
right?
You know, every nobody's a piece of meat. Like every person was a person who died horribly,
right?
And it's like, you know, it's a little. I mean, supposedly Phantom Menace is the kitty one. It's the cute one with all its galactic politics and intergalactic trade routes and unions and
it really all this stuff gets isn't. Loved. No,
but then it's got Jar Jar stepping in poo poo. Again, I didn't get to talk about it.
It's fine, dude. You want to talk about a little
bit about it this whole episode.
You wait.
What I'm saying is, I've gone completely like God. We're talking about the movie more than music. I feel it was a little bit of a cheat, and it hurt the overall. If your enemy isn't a threat, you know, the Stormtrooper armor was designed to look like skeletons,
right?
Be scary.
Right.
The Imperial uniforms are based on Nazi uniforms because Hitler went to Hugo Boss. He wanted that stuff to look cool, and it did. And it's now coolness associated with the ultimate evil. Yep. And Lucas was like, I want a piece of that. I want a piece of that. Like, and then you've got the goofy battle droids, which were supposed to look like Stormtrooper skeletons, who were like, Roger, Roger, I sound silly. And they always sounded like there was a big Beastie Boys hit at that time. Intergalactic. But they're goofy. Like, how can you be invested in a fight with goofy, second-rate enemies?
So, again,
I understand, like, yeah, that's better than watching blood splash. What? Is it better than watching blood splash all over the place? I mean, first of all, the lightsabers would cauterize the wounds, blah, blah, blah. But, like, I don't know. I felt a little cheated. There's a lot about the prequels that felt a little cheaty.
Okay, so remind me, because it's been about four years or more when I talked about Phantom Menace, because I didn't watch that to prepare for this, because I kind of know it by heart, sort of. But remind me. So it was the droids, the battle droids, and then the who was after the battle droids in the battling, or was it just the battle droids?
What do you mean? There were in the prequels, it was always battle droids. There were the basic battle droids, which were mostly in the Phantom Menace, and the droidekas, Jedi killers, droidekas. And then the super battle droids were in Clones. They were the gray ones with the armor.
Right. Yep.
And then by Revenge of the Sith, they had like the missile launching drones and the little spider robots. Right. They're always droids. But okay. Attack of the Clones also had what were they called? The bugs.
Yeah.
Geonosians.
They were bugs.
So, like, you know, it's like, okay, so you slice up a bug, you smush a bug, nobody cares. Like, there was never a humanoid enemy for the good guys to fight.
Right. It was just, yeah. Well,
it was cheap disposable enemies.
Yeah, it was just cheap disposable enemies. And that's why they seem to think that the Phantom Menace is the kitty. Look. Don't know kids want to deal with politics. Kids should learn, but
Jar Jar Binks is clearly there to be an amusing thing for children.
Yep. I'm going to stick my tongue right here.
Yeah. Qui-Gon catches his tongue. I mean, he's silly. He's supposed to, There's a great documentary that I love. It came out before the Disney buyout called The People versus George Lucas, I believe.
Yep.
Have you seen it?
Yep.
The best moment in that film is they go to a French guy and he's like, Jar Jar Binks. And it's like, because the joke is they love Jerry Lewis.
Yeah.
The French love Jerry Lewis. So it's like, oh, Jar Jar Binks, he's magnifique. You
know? Yep. But no, I mean, yeah, I see what you're saying. But they had to build up. They had to build up to the, like, getting the clone army. Like, the clone army didn't just happen overnight. So the fact that we went from droids and robots to humans in suits or mechanical, I can never tell what they want to be have the clones be anymore.
Dude, it is... It was originally clones and suits.
Yep.
And then originally like 70s. I've got the I have to take it off the wall, but I've got the poster magazine that says they were clones. And then somewhere along the way they became guys in suits. And in fact, we talked about this when we talked about Force Awakens.
We will talk about Force Awakens in the future because this.
I know, but what I'm saying is you're asking a larger question, which is you can't figure out who's in the suits, and I'm telling you, it was always supposed to be clones, and then somewhere along the way, somebody just decided that it wasn't. Because I swear to God, and I may even have it on VHS. There's a cut of the special editions where Tamara Morrison went back and recorded all the Stormtrooper lines.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, that's the joke is in Attack of the Clones, which I also didn't get to talk about. Remember, as he's walking into Slave One, he bangs his head against the thing.
Yep.
That's a reference to in Star Wars when the Stormtrooper bangs his head against the door, which was a mistake they kept in the movie. Because he's like his dad. He bangs his head into things.
Yep.
It also explains where the dent came from in the helmet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, even though we already recorded it, folks, Force Awakens will be episode 104, so two episodes from now.
So, how about that music, huh?
Mm-hmm. How about that music? What's your favorite track from Phantom Menace?
I hate to say it, but it's probably either Duel of the Fates or Anakin's theme.
Okay.
Although I also like Augie's Municipal Band. I mean, it's a specific thing
because
it's goofy, but I do kind of like that. I like it is the mega happy ending music, you know?
Yeah. I like the mega happy ending music. I like Amidala and the Naboo Palace. I like that reveal. I like that setting of, oh, she's the queen. She's this, she's that. And then there's the droid invasion and the appearance of Darth Maul, which is track 14 on the main score. I like that.
A lot of people like the flag parade. That's a good one.
Yep, that's a good one. I loved – so, again, because of the – and I'm not – it is what it is. It's how we do the thing. The – oh, what is it? The passage through the planet core.
Oh, planet core.
Yes, I like hearing that music outside of the film because in the film you've got Jar Jar being Jar Jar. You've got Obi-Wan asking Qui-Gon all these questions. You've got Qui-Gon giving him the answers and this, that, and the other thing, everything else. And yeah, what I did not notice on the Wikipedia, which I will commend them for, is not only do they have for the special edition, whatever, like disc one, disc two. Wow. They literally break down everything. Holy crap. That is so cool. Yeah. And this is the version. Yeah. The special edition, ultimate edition version. This is the one where track 33 at the very end is Duel of the Fates dialogue version bonus track. Very, very awesome. Yeah, I loved listening to this again. Because, again, like we said already so far in the podcast, we love the music of the thing.
You know what struck me listening to this? Is it reminded me almost more of like an Indiana Jones
a little music. Bit, yeah.
Than Star Wars, because like Indiana Jones had like, you know, the Ark and the Grail, these big mystic holy things that had like big musical sweeping epic lush musical cues that, you know, because they were holy and godlike, and there's a lot of that sort of instrumental in Phantom Menace, which really wasn't there a lot in the original trilogy. Like the original trilogy was a little more like it's magical and wondrous, but it's not like big and sweeping and holy and epic.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. No, it makes sense. Absolutely. All right. Moving on to Attack of the Clones. Yeah. The love. That whole scene, like, I know when we were all kids in the late 80s and early 90s, we wanted to know, but how is Darth Vader his father? How is this? How is that? Whatever. I did not need to see Anakin and Padme in the meadow, but Across the Stars is a really good piece of music. It really is.
The thing about Across the Stars is there's a scene in Return of the Jedi where Luke asks Leia, you know, tell me about our mother, and she says she was beautiful and sad. That is Across the Stars.
Yeah, that's
beautiful,
true.
And sad.
Yep.
Like, it is just gorgeous. Like, I love that music. That is just, I mean, yeah, it's amazing. And yes, it's in service of one of the worst scenes in cinematic history. But
it's good music.
But it's good music.
Yeah. Zam the Assassin and the Chase Through Coruscant. I have always wanted to hear the Chase Through Coruscant music without them bickering. Without having to hear Obi-Wan and Anakin bickering over Anakin's methods during the chase scene. So listening to track 3 on this was like, oh, this is so cool. Jango's Escape, I like that one.
Now see, going back to relitigate something that we had earlier, like if you look at at least for the basic soundtrack, right, they've got the Meadow Picnic, and they've got Love Pledge and the Arena, and then Love Theme is a separate thing. It's its own track.
Like yeah.
They've got pieces from the movie, which is, you know, the Meadow Picnic.
Yeah.
And then they've got Across the Stars as its own thing. They don't even say it's Across the Stars in this
yeah.
movie. I'm just saying, because I know with Revenge of the Sith, Battle of the Heroes and the actual sequence where they fight are two different pieces of music because they're both on the soundtrack. And they are slightly different.
Yeah, they are. What's your favorite off of Attack of the Clones?
I mean, I keep babbling about it, but Across the Stars. It's gorgeous. It's heartbreaking. It's sad. It's beautiful. Like when they, like I said, I defend that one scene, even though on paper it's a bad scene because it's unearned.
Yeah.
But when she says, I love you, and the doors open and they're being led to their doom and the music swells, it's just like Williams. I've said it before. I'll say it again. Williams carries those movies.
Yeah, he does.
I would not go back and not do the prequels because I would not get these soundtracks.
Yeah.
So yeah, absolutely. Lucky Lucas puts the sniper rifle away for now.
Oh, Lord. But yes, the Attack of the Clones score is very well done, like all of his music is, and it just evokes so many different feelings and stuff. And then Revenge of the Sith, oh man, like this just.
I mean, it starts off with a banger, the whole Battle for Coruscant.
Uh-huh.
It's great music. And then it pretty much goes into Battle of the Heroes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And there's some like sad bits, it's I don't know what to say, man. It's good stuff. Like it's very, like I was saying with that Jaws thing. Like it's Battle of the Heroes, specifically the one for the movie.
Yeah.
Where is it? I'm not sure where it is, but the version that plays in the movie builds to this apocalyptic crescendo of just heartbreak. Like it's just everything collapses, and it's you know, music. I said it was like the Force, but it's also like sex. It builds and it has a climax. And this one has an amazing climax, and because it's everything is lost, and you feel that, like in a way that Lucas's writing kind of really stumbles with. The music tells you this is the moment everything is lost, everything is ruined, everything is curdled and broken. And then, of course, we go into, you know, that shot of Tatooine and the classic music, because there is one last new hope.
Yep.
It's just witchcraft.
Yeah, it's witchcraft.
It's the Force. It's sex. It's witchcraft. It's music is amazing.
Yes, it is. I love the way that Anakin's dark deeds and Enter Lord Vader, I love how those fade in or fade out on at the end of Anakin's Dark Deeds and the fade in to enter Lord Vader. I love how that transition goes. That is such a smooth, interesting transition.
Yeah.
Birth of the Twins and Padme's Destiny. That's a good one. Palpatine's teachings. The interesting thing about listening to music outside of whatever it's supposed to be in, folks, is you hear things that you didn't really hear, didn't really notice in the movie unless you were really like, I forgot there was like this chorus of echoes around all of that.
In that the Tibetan, Tibetan throat singer stuff.
Yeah. I had forgotten, that we possibly even heard that in the movie. So that's what I love about listening to some of this stuff.
Oh, no, it's very noticeable in the movie.
Oh, I got to go back, I guess, and rewatch that scene. I'll find a clip on YouTube somewhere. But I like Revenge. I like all three soundtracks from all three movies, but I think I like Revenge of the Sith the best.
It's the one, I mean, I mentioned I have two copies, one for the car, one for home, and it's the only one of the three that I do, so.
Yeah, very cool. All right, what else do we want to do with this music? These are not going to be super long episodes, folks. We're just going to talk about it, and then we're going to, so out of the three, I would probably, I don't think we can give all three 5 stars. I don't think we
can. Why not?
Like, I mean, if you want to.
In all seriousness, though, why not? Uh-huh. Like, if you really think they're that good, like, I mean, I know I've said once or twice that, like, I would give a lower rating to give another one a little more room to grow. But, I mean, you know, would I give them each 5 stars? I don't know. Maybe. I mean, at least 4.5 for each of them. And I think the third one definitely gets 5.
Yeah, the third one definitely gets 5. It's the other two that I'm having issues with.
Hey, they're good too. Like, my problem is that Across the Stars, out of all this stuff, is my favorite piece of music. Mm-hmm. But like the actual soundtrack for the second one, I think probably is the least impressive.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah.
But still give it 4.5 stars. I mean, is John Williams? I think maybe a little. The phrase "past his prime" has different connotations. Has different connotations than what I want to mean. Like, right. I think he hit his prime in the '80s and early '90s, and this was him sort of at just on the other side of whatever peak. I mean, it's amazing. It's fantastic. It's very lush. It's wonderful. But I like, you know, I mean, it's like, I think peak Williams was like Jurassic Park and a couple other things like from the, like, you know, I'm just like, I'm not.
Yeah.
It's,
I know
weird.
What you're
just like,
I know what you're saying.
It's still a work of genius. It's still fantastic.
Yeah.
It does feel a little like everything in the prequels. It does feel like it doesn't really fit with the original trilogy, which is a, you know, which is always like a little bit of a problem. It feels like it's his own, like, you know, those movies look different than the original trilogy. They do sound different than the original trilogy. The soundtracks are much lusher than the original trilogy. And I don't know that that's necessarily a knock. It just is.
No,
what it is.
I mean,
I love them. I'm not giving these things up anytime soon. I mean, I have the original, I turned my head slightly to the left and I can see the original trilogy soundtracks in vinyl on my wall.
Yes, he can, folks.
The display.
Yep. Well, what I did like about Phantom was the piece of music that when they go through the Naboo Palace, when they're sneaking into the palace, that scene of when they're sneaking into the palace, that piece of music, I like that. I like that a lot. But yeah, no, obviously Revenge of the Sith gets 5. I would probably give Attack of the Clones, I'd probably give that a 4. And then I guess I can set aside my disdain for the overuse. And it's not because it's the soundtrack, it's because of the internet and the overuse of Duel of the Fates. But yeah, I can probably give Duel of the Fates a 4. If anything else, I'd give it a 3.5. And that's not a bad grade out of 5. So.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with the 4.5 for the first two and then a 5 for the third one.
Very cool. All right, folks. Well, this is a Star Wars quickie.
Sorry.
No. These are never meant to be super long. I would recommend these soundtracks to anybody.
Anybody is like a very broad term. I absolutely if you're looking for a good piece of music, if you like this sort of thing, I absolutely would recommend it. Like a 4-year-old who just, wants to pick his nose. I don't know. Like a 90-year-old guy who just likes swing music. Maybe not. Because I think my thing is one of my childhood tragedies is that my parents did not necessarily share my enthusiasm for movie soundtracks.
Okay.
So like I would get a new soundtrack and I'd want to like listen to it. And of course, back in the day, we didn't have like a sound system in everybody's room.
Yep.
So I would sort of like force them to hear it and they would get tired of it and annoyed. And so for me, it's like to recommend it to anyone. I mean, if you're into that kind of music, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I would recommend it, but just to anyone, I don't know. I get a little twitchy. Maybe I'm overthinking it. I apologize.
No. You can look, I have never, nor will I ever criticize anyone for having whatever opinion they want to have. That's fine. Your opinion is your opinion. That's the way you feel. That's the way you feel. I think what I mean when I say I would recommend this to anyone is that anyone who wants a experience, who has seen the films, obviously, but wants an experience outside of them. Because I had a different experience listening to, over the last 2.5 weeks, Phantom, Attack, and Revenge than I did watching the films themselves and having the music be with, like, I had, like, every time I heard various cues in Phantom Menace, I'm like, ooh, I remember that scene. Ooh, I remember that scene. And it made me think of those scenes differently because I'm only hearing the music. I'm not hearing specifically Attack of the Clones. Yes, that is one of the worst scenes ever. But that theme is one of the best themes of these three soundtracks. Across the Stars. Yeah. Any other final thoughts before I throw it to an ad break, sir?
Nah, I think I'm good.
All right. As always, folks, you're going to hear some ads from some other podcasts and some other stuff, and we'll come back to close the show right after this.
Hello, geeks and geekettes. Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics? Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks, every Friday on the GeekCast Radio Network.
So let's say you're looking for a podcast of your favorite 80s comic books, G.I. Joe, Transformers, Ninja Turtles, He-Man, etc. Where are you going to go to find us?
Welcome to Star Joe's Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan.
And I'm Chuck. That's right, everybody. We're the Star Joes. We host a podcast called Star Joe's Podcast, where we talk about your favorite comic books, your favorite toys of all the 80s properties.
Star Wars, G.I. Joe, Transformers, Mask, Thundercats, Voltron, you name it, we cover it. If it's in the 80s, we'll cover it at some point.
Yeah, so what you want to do to find us, you can go to iTunes, you can go to www.starjoes.com.
And remember, the Force will be with you.
Because knowing us is half the battle.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The GeekCast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series, where we review noted directors' movies film by film.
Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or GeekCastRadio.com.
We are Two Mics, Two Furious, a podcast where we watch every episode of Transformers Animated and discuss from two different points of view. I'm Mike Seibert, and I've never watched Transformers Animated before, and guiding me on this journey is author Michael Andrews.
Hello! Yes, longtime Transformers Animated fan
serial rewatcher. I've seen it plenty of times. So if you've never watched Transformers Animated but always wanted a reason to, now's your chance. Likewise, if you've binged the series several times, it's a great reason to watch through again with us. Because regardless, if you're a seasoned vet or a newbie, there's something for every fan. Because I ask questions.
Why is Prowl such a dick?
So that he can be not a dick later, I think is the answer. Subscribe to Two Mics, Two Furious on your favorite podcast app so you never miss an episode.
Are we coming off furious enough? I feel like we're not living up to the... Are we supposed to be, like, more angry, more fired up? We're really in a good mood. We really enjoy talking to each other.
All right, folks. That's going to do it. We are back here inside Studio 2009. We are in the, like I said before, it's actually going to be 121. We're in the 21 days of Studio 2009 here in December of 2024. We have got so much coming up on the podcast. This is why it's going daily. And we've got something really cool coming up in episode 107, 108. I'm not going to reveal that just now, but I will reveal it at, technically I'll have to reveal it the next episode, because the next episode that we do is the original trilogy scores, and we've already recorded the sequel trilogy films, so... It's going to be a little out of order, folks, because I'm always a little out of order around here. Any final thoughts about the prequel trilogy music or the prequel trilogy overall, Mr. Draper, sir?
You know, it's weird. It's just a weird thing where, like, it's generally considered, like, the prequels as a whole are considered a disappointment. But a lot of really amazing stuff came out of them. So just, you know, it's just, life is weird. I know there's like been this big move to re-examine the prequels because of the sequel trilogy being a disappointment. Just I will never be sad that I got this music. So.
Absolutely. And I feel the same way. I don't necessarily feel the same way about the sequel trilogy affecting the, like, I think people are going back and rediscovering the prequel trilogy because it's been 25 years since that started. Phantom Menace. I was in theaters that day. A buddy of mine and I went and saw the Phantom Menace in theaters. It was the only one of the prequel trilogies that I saw in theaters because Attack of the Clones, I don't remember what I was doing around that time in 2002 and then 2005. Yar. All I got to say is yar, because somebody yarred that for me. No, not Lieutenant Yar or whatever her rank is. Sorry if I got it wrong, folks. But no, somebody it dropped off the back of a pirate ship, folks, before I could even like try to go to see it in theaters. And it was a really, really bad copy, but I still enjoyed watching it at the time. But yeah, no, that's the thing about people like. There was a couple of years ago, number of years ago now, there were people doing these, oh my God, I've never watched, like, there was somebody that watched Gem and the Holograms.
There's a lot of that out. Yeah, there's a lot of that on YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Like, oh my God, I've watched this for the, it's rediscovery or it's discovery for the first time. And I think that's cool. And I think listening to these scores, specifically the prequel trilogy scores over the last 2.5 weeks for me is like, damn, like I knew and I know Williams is a, you know, masterful maestro and all that, and the London Symphony Orchestra is amazing, but I forgot how good Star Wars music of the prequels really was.
See, it's funny for me because I was also a big fan, surprise, of a video game called Star Wars Galaxies,
mm-hmm.
which utilized a lot, you know, obviously utilized the music. So it was sort of funny because certain musical cues would be used in different contexts than the movies.
Right.
You know, so like, I don't know. It's weird. It's like, and then you listen to the music and then you watch the movie again. You're like, oh, hey, there's the, you know, that's that theme. That's that theme from when you're driving your bike down Kashyyyk. You know, it's you know, for me, Star Wars has always been more than just the movies.
Mm-hmm.
It's been bigger than that. So. Yeah, I like the music. It's mm-hmm. good.
Me too.
It makes happy.
That's right.
Except that I don't know if I want to tell the story or not, but let's just say that when I'm with a friend, she likes to put on music soundtracks for me, basically, because she knows I love movies. And she likes them, too. But let's just say there are times when you don't want Across the Stars to come on.
Yeah, no.
Because then it becomes awkward. And I was like, can you please change the music? Mm-hmm. This is weird.
Yep.
This is weird. I don't like this.
Yeah. Unless we're going to go on a picnic somewhere in a
meadow. Awkward picnic. And, and I'm not jumping on no space cows. So.
Oh, my God. I forgot about that.
About the giant. It looks more like a flea than a cow. What was it?
Yeah. I don't know what the hell Lucas was thinking.
Yeah. I will bring up that has happened once before with another piece of music from Star Wars. But we'll get to that when we get to that. And that has a much sadder connotation.
Oh.
Because I may have made a mistake naming a certain puppy. So.
Yeah, we're going to. Oh, boy.
We'll get to that part.
Yeah, we'll get to that part. All right, folks. Thank you for joining us here inside the studio. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website geekcastradio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. You can send us email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. Here are all the ways you can listen to us nowadays: Apple Podcasts, where you can leave us reviews, Spotify, and any other podcatching client you choose to use. Follow us on Twitter at Geekcast Radio for the network, at It's Studio 2009, all one word for the podcast. I am at TFU and Mike. Dave does not do social media. Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/Geekcast Radio Network. You can also check out Studio 2009 Podcast over there, as well as joining the Toy World Order fans group. Join us next time when Dave and I will be discussing 12 Months of Star Wars, the original trilogy, episodes 4 through 6, the scores. So we're going to be doing that next time here on the podcast. For now, I am TFG and Mike with
David Draper.
You'll hear us back in the studio soon. Follow us on X. I am where we are. What? Edit. Yay.
Wow. Was it that bad?
No. My performance was that bad.